Plus, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum from all countries have taken effect.
The tariffs are going to be throwing off a lot of money to this country, and we've been ripped off for years by other countries.
The European Union is responding with retaliatory tariffs. Britain calls the U.S. tariffs disappointing. Japan calls them regrettable. CBS's Jared Hill has more.
The move has support from many domestic steel and aluminum makers, but the head of the Can Manufacturers Institute says consumers will eventually take a hit.
How long will it take for people to feel the impacts of these tariffs?
The impacts will probably be felt in the next 60 to 90 days as we buy more steel and aluminum and as those containers are filled with food and beverages.
Trump plans to enact more reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd. President Trump wants to dismantle the Department of Education, and beginning Friday, the agency will cut more than 1,300 jobs. Democrats like Washington Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal are blasting the cuts.
Essentially, giving notices to half of the department is not keeping that department functioning. It's going to have enormous consequences to families across the country.
The Senate today will start working on the stopgap spending bill to avert a government shutdown. CBS's Michael Toscano has the latest.
The House-passed bill funds the government through September, allowing Elon Musk's DOGE task force wide discretion to make cuts. With at least one Republican senator, Kentucky's Rand Paul, opposed, at least 8 Democratic votes are needed to get the 60 votes needed to pass the finish line. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson dares Democrats to let it fail.
I hope there are at least a number of Democrats in the Senate who will do the right thing. If not, this will be on their shoulders.
The deadline for a deal is Friday night. Ukraine has accepted the terms of a proposed 30-day ceasefire with Russia after meeting with Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Saudi Arabia.
We'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, that they'll say yes to peace. The ball is now in their court.
The U.S. will also start sharing intelligence and military aid with Ukraine again. A federal judge has halted Louisiana's first execution using nitrogen gas. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper reports Jesse Hoffman was to be put to death next Tuesday for murder.
Hoffman's attorneys argue that the execution method is cruel and unusual punishment under the U.S. Constitution and infringes on his freedom to practice religion, specifically Buddhist breathing and meditation exercises.
Louisiana's last execution was 15 years ago. A woman who accused former heavyweight boxing champ Mike Tyson of rape in 1991 is dropping her lawsuit. Her attorneys say the case had to be dismissed on procedural grounds. A year after the alleged attack, Tyson was convicted in another rape case and served 3 years in prison. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with our friends, Family Natural Foods, and in part two, Encourage with Kim Shields. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers. The former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says
as Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of season three. He added that the season three executive producer cameos were part of the plan since season one. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs of the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 12th, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, listening by podcast, watching us on social media, we are very thankful that you're starting your day right here. Here's my question for you. Will you tune in tonight? Will you tune in tonight for the first ever Up North News live event? How do we build this thing? Let's go with this. One night, 2 hours, three moderators for a live event in Madison tonight about the state Supreme Court race. 12 panelists, and who knows how many people in a live studio audience. But we are very much looking forward to what's coming up this evening, and you can listen to it all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our news talk stations are carrying it live from 5 to 7 o'clock. Three different panel discussions with all sorts of experts and lawmakers talking about what's really at stake in the state Supreme Court race. And in fact, in our second hour, usually in our homeroom segment, we're talking with experts in education. We're just going to dwell for a bit about the education section of tonight's Supreme Court panel discussion, the ways that the election could impact the voucher program and its cost to taxpayers, Act 10. There will also be panel discussions on the economy and, of course, on reproductive health care rights. So all of that coming up at the Overture Center in Madison. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, Greg Bach is in Racine, and how do you call this a conversation that is nascent at the Capitol adjacent? I like it.
That is
I
what's like happening tonight in Madison.
You know, if only Mean Gene Okerlund was still with us to tell us more. How are things in Radio Park these days?
Oh, you know, they're quiet. They're quiet in the morning, Pat. It's just. Me and
it was it's a sleepy neighborhood. Radio Park is
it really is like you like folks listening on right now. They might think, oh man, Radio Park's in the hustle and the bustle of Racine. It's literally in smack in the middle of a residential neighborhood. Like there's
yes.
Tom and Jan's house, Bob and Lori's house, a radio station.
It's only really rocking when the kids are out on the street playing kickball.
Exactly.
That's really about it.
Yeah.
In Racine right now, it's 36 degrees. It's 35 in Milwaukee. Up here on Lake Wissota, it's 34. Hayward's at 35. Very consistent temperatures across the state this morning. 32 in Amory, 31 in Wausau, 30 in Rapids. La Crosse is at 32. So is Green Bay. Milwaukee's at 28 degrees. Brittany Merlot says the roller coaster ride of temperatures will continue this week as we climb back up to a little bit of warmth. But even as those spring-like temperatures tease us, we're following a big storm that's headed our way this weekend, she writes. Well, that's great. Thanks, Brittany. We just didn't need that. But we don't get a vote. I checked. Let me see if I've got the details on her state forecast here for today. Here it is. It's Wednesday. Mostly sunny and mild statewide. Highs in the north in the upper 40s and the south to the mid-50s today with a south wind at 5 to 10. Tonight, it'll get frosty temperatures, a few clouds, upper 20s for lows in the north, low 30s in the south, and a south wind at 5 miles an hour. And like I said, we will have the full details of her forecast coming up from her directly in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio. Along the way, if you'd like to join the show, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-752-4842. Do feel free to send us a text message at that number as well, or use that aforementioned Civic Media app to listen to the show, or call us, or text us, or put something in the comment section as well. If I sound a little bit tuckered, Mr. Bach, it is because I went through the ordeal last night that all of us have to do at some point, and that is replace your phone and hear the whole spiel on phones and plans and options and accessories. And as if that wasn't already starting to wear on you, once you make the decision, then comes the transfer of information, photos, files, everything. I seem to recall a time, and maybe I'm romanticizing the past, but it seemed to me when you bought a new phone, they'd put your old phone on the desk. They'd put the new phone there. They'd hook them up to, like, you know, jumper cables or something. Yeah. And like, and that was it. Your new phone was ready.
Yeah.
And at this point, to borrow an old Ron White joke, the data transfer was moving at the speed of smell. And we had nothing to do. We were hostage. We just had to make small talk with the poor clerk at the store.
Yeah. Who,
as we're just watching the little bar move, actually not moving, move. And of course, it's never, it doesn't mean anything. You know, when they say the transfer is 30% complete, or you're downloading a file and it says 30%, and then it's 33, and then it's 30. Oh, wait, now it's 85. now it's 99. Still 99. Still 99. Still 99. It was just torture. Almost 3 hours.
Oh my God, Pat. You and Dr. Kreitlo both had to do it.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
We had to do this because one of our phones had just reached the end. We couldn't, and we thought, oh, we'll just zip down to Eau Claire. We'll zip down, we'll get this done, we'll grab a leisurely dinner. No, there was nothing. It was
Does Best Buy have a food court?
We could not. I was going to say it now. It wasn't Best Buy, but I don't want to out the poor store or the clerk. They were doing their best, but clearly, whether it was their Wi-Fi or just the internet speed overall, and you can't do anything at that point. You're committed. You need this phone, yeah. So you're there. I'm actually surprised. My big idea, my entrepreneurial ingenuity here.
Yeah.
These stores from now on, if phone transfers are going to take this long, set up a little room with cots or recliners. Put your favorite shows on that you want, because they tried to sell you on get our Netflix and our Hulu package and Disney Plus. Fine. Put us in some easy chairs, you know, run your commercials, bring us some snacks, and let us know when the phone is ready. Because didn't we had this discussion about EVs, that at some point when we all have to go to these charging stations instead of gas, you know, filling the gas tank takes, what, 3-4 minutes? But an EV may take longer. So Quick Trip's going to have to put in some recliners anyway.
Oh, there you go. They're TVs with wonderful programming.
that the gas station pump?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't this is not to brag, but and I know you're Apple guy, so this is not also going to change you either. But, like, I have a Google Pixel, and when I want to get a new phone, I go to the website, I order it, they deliver it within the week. I put my old phone next to my new phone. They transfer. I'm done. It takes about an hour.
And I've done that. We've done that at home. But we just did not have any idea it was going to take that long doing it at the store yesterday. Oh, let me address this text from Tom in Jackson, because we did have a scheduling change. Tom writes, will you be interviewing Brittany Kinzer this morning? No, not this morning. We did advertise Wednesday. They had agreed to Wednesday. And then on Friday of last week, They said, oh, we've got a schedule problem. Can we move it to Friday? And we agreed. So, yes, Brittany Kinzer, we will be talking to her, not today, but Friday at 7:30. So our fabulous Week in Review panel will start a little bit earlier. We'll start at 7:05 Friday, 7:05 to 7:30. And then Brittany Kinzer from 7:30 onward, we'll be talking to her about the state superintendent race. So thank you, Tom, for reminding me to mention that. Did you see Billy Joel had to cancel his concert tour, including American Family Field, for, I believe, a still undisclosed surgery and apparently physical therapy, whatever it all involves.
Oh, yeah.
So no new dates have been set. He's basically canceled the next 4 months. So anybody that had tickets for April 26th to see Billy Joel and Sting at American Family Field, they do say they're going to make it up, but it's going to be a while before they know the next dates. So wish him we wish Mr. Joel a full recovery from there. I covered the announcement yesterday from Rebecca Cook running for Congress in 3rd District. She's running. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge has indicated that she's likely to announce after April 1st. But Becca Cook was doing hers on a farm not far from here. So I went over to cover it. We're going to play some sound from Becca Cook coming up in our next segment here. But I bring it up just to say that I saw some old friends out there. I saw Bob Bolsold, who's been at Wax Radio for about 75 years, and Bob Gallagher, who's been at TV 13 for what feels like 50 years. We both started there a long, long time ago. We both had very dark hair. We were both much thinner than we are now. And I go in and he looks at me and he looks up at the top of me and he goes, huh, I have darker hair than you now. And I'm like, no, you don't, you liar. We're both just graying right along. And then we look over at Bob Bolsold and we're like, well, at least misery loves company, you know. So we're just all watching the snow on the mountaintop and covering this press event. But always nice to see some old friends, even if they do remind you, you know, that we're not getting any younger.
Exactly.
Oh, well. Hey, it's Women's History Month. The Up North News Daily newsletter includes another story of a trailblazer in Wisconsin. This one more of a modern-day trailblazer, Kimberly Hall, the Milwaukee woman who has appeared on at least a half a dozen different food competition shows. It all started in 2010 when she won the Hometown Showdown Cake Decorating Contest. She has since appeared on Cupcake Wars, Sugar Dome, the Macy's Thanksgiving Cake Spectacular, Holiday Wars, and Halloween Wars. And you can find out what she's up to these days and how you can get hold of her trademarked lifelike 3D cakes. Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And Greg, when Christina put in there her lifelike 3D cakes, I'm like, well, all cakes are 3D. I mean, what's the deal? But then I looked and I saw what she means. I mean, it's, have you seen the show, Is It Cake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking those kind of things where you swear it's some other kind of object. It looks so real, but then you put a knife to it and there's cake inside.
What is her name?
Kimberly Hall.
Kimberly Hall.
Yeah. So you take a look at that and tell me what you think. And in the meantime, I will tell folks before we take a little break here that there's also more to see over at couriernewsroom.com. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. And you can include our newsletter from Mark Jacob called Stop the Presses this week, When the Media Takes MAGA Liars at Their Word. And then there's also an article from Courier Newsroom correspondent Michael Jones on how House Democrats recruited an army of influencers to document Donald Trump's wild 100-minute speech last week. So, again, look for all of that at couriernewsroom.com. All right, we'll talk about Rebecca Cook's announcement and more. That's coming up on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever.
In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Do me wrong, but do me right. Tell me lies, but hold me tight.
James Taylor has a birthday today. Part of today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now. And at the risk of annoying both you and Greg, I'm going to have him start the song over in just a second here to say, is there a better acoustic guitar first few notes of a song? We talk about guitar riffs, you know, starting off rock songs. But from an acoustic guitar standpoint, I mean, when you hear these first few notes, is there anything comparable to that? Can you play the start of the song again?
Do me wrong.
I love that. I just love that. So remember, when we get on one of these things about the greatest, you know, guitar riffs to start off rock songs, we've got to look at acoustic ones as well.
Now you got me thinking. And
yes,
because
I do.
Because I think.
Oh, hey, yes. It's hey, also you're. Good. You're good. You're good.
That's a good one. That's yep. A good one.
Oh, wait. Now, this one's not an acoustic guitar, yeah. But it's a little different. Isn't there something called like a Fender 6 bass or something like that?
Yes.
That starts a classic song?
Oh, absolutely.
Song?
Yeah. There's it's. Let me find the. Yeah.
There we go. Oh.
Where's Brittany when we need her?
I know. Brittany, if you're listening.
I am a lineman for the county.
Always happy to again prove that our signals are not in sync when you do internet-based radio. But anyway. Okay, so that was guitar talk for with Greg and Pat for this Wednesday morning, March 12th. Let's see. I try sometimes during commercial breaks to come up with an order in my head. I'm like, okay, what are we going to talk about this time? And today, this section's lineup is... Badgers, Bucks, Bridgman, Becca. Yes, that's it. So let's see. Badgers first. So let me pull up that note because the Wisconsin Badgers are in the Big Ten Conference Tournament tomorrow. They will be playing coverage beginning at 12:30 tomorrow on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and I would imagine the Civic Media app as well, though don't give me a stack of Bibles and have me swear on it. The Milwaukee Bucks lost last night, I guess in a crazy fashion. Last play of the game, the Pacers were down by 3, somehow managed to inbound it, score, get fouled, and score 4 points overall, and go on to beat the Bucks last night. On Thursday, they will host the LA Lakers. The Bucks and the Bucks family suffered a big loss. Junior Bridgman, a basketball standout who led Louisville to a Final Four, then starred for the Bucks, and then launched an even more successful career as a self-made billionaire with stakes in restaurants, publishing, and the Bucks franchise itself. Died yesterday at the age of 71. Bridgman was a popular fixture in Louisville after his playing days, and Mayor Craig Greenberg announced his death, saying the city had, quote, lost a kind, generous, and groundbreaking legend. According to media reports, Bridgman suffered a medical emergency at a Louisville hotel during a fundraising event on Tuesday. Bridgman was involved in one of the biggest trades in NBA history at the start of his professional career. After the LA Lakers selected Bridgman with the eighth pick in the 1975 draft, they sent him to Milwaukee as part of the trade that brought Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out of Milwaukee and to the West Coast. Bridgman played 711 games for the Bucks. That's third in franchise history behind Giannis and Chris Middleton. His number two jersey was retired by the Bucks in 1988. After his playing career, Bridgman was a longtime franchisee for Wendy's and for Chili's. At one time, he operated more than 450 restaurants in 20 states. He became a bottler for Coca-Cola. He bought Ebony Magazine and Jet Magazine. Last year, he bought a 10% stake in the Milwaukee Bucks. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. 626 now, just about. And as I mentioned in the last segment here, Rebecca Cook is now running for Congress. Yesterday, we mentioned that she was on the verge of making an announcement and that Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge is also seriously considering a run, either one of them hoping to challenge Republican Derek Van Orden. Rebecca Cook has gone ahead and made that decision to run. And so let me play just the beginning of her announcement here. It's about 2 minutes long, and that way you can hear some of her story and why she's decided to run. This is speaking on a farm near Chippewa Falls yesterday morning.
Our family has had a farm in this district for 150 years. And so when we had to sell our cows because of the price of milk, it wasn't just losing a business, but part of our traditions and our heritage and our way of life, frankly. And I think that way of life really remains under attack for family farms like mine and Tony Bovee's. Far-right fractions of the Republican Party, including Derek Van Orden, would rather play political football with the farm bill than to get it passed. Sweeping changes to USAID have cut off export markets many farmers have relied on, and cuts to the USDA are ripping apart programs that have kept smaller farms afloat. We need to continue to expand export markets in agriculture and not start trade wars with our nation's allies. Now is not a time to cower as big drug companies jack up our medicine prices and our local hospitals here in Eau Claire remain closed. We must stand up to out-of-touch elites who are blocking our pathway to home ownership, to good-paying jobs, and to achieving the American dream. They don't care about the price of milk or gas, but we do. Whether it's starting our own business, owning our first homes, or keeping our farms in the family, Wisconsinites really deserve a fair shot. So today, I'm announcing my campaign for U.S. Congress. Last November, we won the trust and support from an unprecedented amount of Democratic, Independent, and Republican voters. And we nearly sent a farm kid from Western Wisconsin, from here in Chippewa Valley, from here in Chippewa County, to Congress. We built a movement, but we ran out of time. And now with your help, we're gonna win in 2026. And the truth is, we need more working class voices like ours in Washington, who have lived failed policy and will fight like hell to build back the middle class. People with small business backgrounds like mine, who know how to balance a budget and spend within their means. We really need one of us. Resilience is about not giving up against the odds. And it reminds me of something that my brother, who was in the Navy, used to say, and what he learned in the Navy, that you don't stop when you're tired. You stop when it's done. So let's get to work.
So there's a bit of Rebecca Cook's announcement running in the 3rd Congressional District, again, made in a barn at a farm just outside of Chippewa County. We appreciate Tony Bovee and his brother hosting us there for that announcement. Today's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff is up next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, now that Wisconsin's experienced a little warmer weather, of course, some Wisconsin farmers anxious to get to the fields. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. But one of our University Extension specialists says exercise caution when it comes to entering those fields. Francisco Arriaga, University Extension specialist in soils and environmental studies, says every field's going to be different as far as conditions are concerned, and you have to treat them individually.
Yeah, so if it's a moisture issue that pushes your planting season late, I think a lot of it's gonna have to depend on what was your residue condition. So if you didn't have a lot of residue and you have some crusting and things like that in the field, if your planter is set up with good row cleaners and good ways of engaging the ground that would break up those crust where you're putting your seed, then you're probably fine. But if your planter struggles under those conditions, maybe you want to give it a slight cultivation to kind of break that up.
Francisco Arriaga, University Extension soil specialist, also involved in environmental studies, just urging farmers not to get too eager about getting into those fields too early. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we start off on a Wednesday morning, looking a little stronger as far as our dairy complex. Those numbers are next.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese surprised the market, up four at 164.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 3.75 at 167. Double A butter, that gained two on Tuesday to 233 a pound. This morning, the April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 21 cents at 1765. May, up 19 right now, 1781. December new crop corn's down two at 453. November new crop beans right now down three at 1012. July new crop wheat up just a half at 572 a bushel. That's a quick update on markets. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the the usual music that introduces Climate Check. I have made an executive decision that since Trump's energy secretary is sounding more like a Bond villain than a cabinet officer, I figured some James Bond music would work out perfectly here. Melissa Baldoff is with us as well. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, we got to put our tongue in cheek on this. It's the only way we get through stuff like this. The New York Times headline, U.S. Energy Secretary pledges to reverse focus on climate change. To applause from oil and gas executives, Chris Wright said natural gas was preferable to renewable energy and climate change was, quote, a side effect of building the modern world. Bond villain stuff. There's just no other way to go about it.
That's absolutely the truth. I mean, I guess, you know, I will say one thing. On the one hand, it's honest, right? He's in contrast to, you know, some of these guys out there denying climate change. He is not denying that climate change exists. He's not denying that the planet is warming and getting hotter. He, in fact, referred to himself as, quote, a climate realist. But yeah, then he's just saying, but too bad, so sad. I don't care about how much this is going to hurt a whole bunch of people. It's going to make them maybe a whole lot wealthier and make their friends a whole lot wealthier. So we'll let other people deal with the pain down the road.
And if folks aren't aware, going, well, who is this guy? Chris Wright is a former fracking executive. So there's no surprise. He is who he's always been and has always promised a, quote, 180-degree pivot and wants to dismantle pretty much every federal policy aimed at curbing global warming. Now, when I say 180 degrees, I mean it, because 1 year ago, speaking to a similar conference of energy industry executives, the energy secretary during the Biden administration, former Michigan governor Jennifer Granholm, told that group that the transition to lower carbon forms of energy like wind, solar, and batteries was unstoppable. She said, even as we are the largest producer of oil and gas in the world, the expansion of America's energy dominance to clean energy is striking. And this is what this Trump team is doing is a speed bump. We're not going back to, you know, doing more to put carbon into the atmosphere. This is on pause during the Trump administration, however long it lasts. But I mean, nobody really thinks that this is a full-time turn, right?
It's just really wild because other countries, you know, have been doing what we, you know, had pivoted to doing. Still having, you know, kind of a mix of energy solutions, but investing more heavily in renewable energy and making that a higher priority. You know, to see now this, you know, hostility from Wright and from the Trump administration, to see this, you know, 180 degree pivot, you know, 180 degrees, you know, which it seems to be what they would like the, you know, the temperature of our planet to be one day with their with their policies. Is just really, you know, out of step with what we've been working towards and out of step with the rest of the world, quite frankly, well, you know, we're just going to be completely out of step with what the rest of the world has been transitioning.
He thinks that this switch is good for the rest of the world. The New York Times said he argued that there is a moral case for fossil fuels, saying that they are crucial to alleviating global poverty, and that moving too quickly to cut emission risks, driving up energy prices around the world. He denounced efforts by countries that want to stop adding greenhouse gas to the atmosphere by 2050, calling it, quote, a sinister goal. I mean, this is through the looking glass stuff here. If anybody, this is editorializing on my part, if anybody thinks that Secretary Wright is actually caring about alleviating global poverty, making a moral case for fossil fuels, and not looking at profit margins and stock portfolios, you are kidding yourself.
Right. I mean, especially for someone who, you know, as it was reported, you know, in this address, did not mention any of the, you know, downsides of climate change. You know, he talked about, you know, quote unquote, you know, something he said was everything in life involves trade-offs. You know, he didn't talk about the heat waves, drought, floods, extreme weather conditions that come with climate change, how that can lead to the disruption of food production, which leads to impacting our water, all of the things that really can devastate countries that are already suffering with these resources, with feeding and providing clean drinking water to their citizens. So to suggest that switching to more fossil fuel and putting more of these harmful pollutants in the air is somehow going to help, you know, lift anyone out of poverty or address poor conditions in impoverished countries is just not only laughable, I mean, it's just incredibly offensive, especially when you couple that with an administration who is, you know, taken the position of eliminating U.S. aid and discontinuing our support of foreign nations that have long relied on assistance from the U.S. government to address some of these serious concerns. It's really quite stunning. And I would also point out extremely just out of touch with reality in terms of, you know, the, you know, popularity with some of the oil and gas producers and how this would actually take place when you think about the fact that the Trump tariffs are going to be actually raising costs on the oil industry. When you think about the cost of steel and aluminum going up, because guess what is used to line oil and gas wells? Well, that's steel pipes. And the cost of steel going up by, we were told, 25%, and now we're hearing, oh no, it's going to be 50% on Canada. Well, it's going to get even worse.
I would also add that the Times says that Mr. Wright mostly sidestepped questions on the tariffs, saying that it was still very early on. There is also the potential, we've sometimes talked about the unintended consequences, the positive kind here, that with Ontario hiking its energy costs even further, or maybe even cutting off energy supplies to Minnesota, Michigan, and New York State, that might actually accelerate other energy options for consumers in those states who say, well, maybe this is the time to look at, you know, solar or wind or things like that. So who knows? That's always possible. And it transitions us into the other story we wanted to talk about today, which again is going to sound a little on the fairy tale side, but maybe in a good way, where the headline in Politico says House Republican support grows for keeping clean energy tax breaks. Lawmakers are expected to start the difficult task this week of determining which of the credits are on the chopping block to help pay for the Republican budget bill, meaning, you know, tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And Melissa, this just sounds like a classic Trumpism here, where there are all of these tax credits available for clean energy. Are they going to pick winners and losers based on the technology, or are they going to base it on, you know, who makes the most persuasive case, shall we say, through campaign donations or where certain donors happen to be located in which congressional district? Color me cynical, but I don't know that they're being altruistic about it in this particular instance of wanting to protect some of the clean energy tax credits.
Well, I'm going to take a slightly rosy view here. And good. I am going to say that there is some good news, and there is something that people should take something positive away here. And I'm going to say this, that advocacy works, storytelling works, and putting the pressure on these members of Congress is effective. When they are hearing about the real impacts of what reversing these tax credits would do to workers and businesses and industries and families in their districts, it is really making them think twice about their votes and about their actions. And it's got to be large scale action. It can't just be, I heard it from one or two people. That's why it takes these coordinated efforts to get the message to these folks about what the harm would be if these credits go away. And there has been a very coordinated effort from a number of different organizations, from, you know, Democratic members across the board, to from labor unions, from so many partners, to have folks tell their stories. And that is across the board. It could be from, you know, workers, you know, in the operating engineers union, carpenters, electrical workers, talking about how, you know, they're out there installing solar panels and they are bringing on more apprentices than ever before to work in these really good paying jobs, and that they've got years worth of work planned out down the road. And that's all going to go away if these tax credits go away. That could be about those same workers talking about how, you know, they're able to buy their first house, they're able to pay off their car early, they're able to afford childcare that they didn't think they were able to afford. Those kinds of things really matter. And if those tax credits go away, the jobs go away. Those businesses can't expand. And those members need to hear about it, because that if they're responsible for that economic growth drying up in their district, their jobs are going to be on the line, and they know it.
And these are Republicans who know that the Inflation Reduction Act has put hundreds of billions of dollars in tax credits and other incentives largely into Republican controlled districts. And so these House Republicans are saying, you need to keep these, because these particular credits help meet the president's goal of becoming energy dominant, and help America create energy at home. Yeah, it's not fossil fuel energy, but it is still jobs and economic development. So yes, I will definitely look at this with a much more positive attitude than I was a couple of minutes ago, because you, again, like Mr. Zepecki, you guys sometimes can just put me right on the right path, tell me how to see these things. Sometimes I picture you two together in the evening with your beverage of whatever going, you know, we're really good at this, because you guys are really good at this. And I always appreciate your insight for it. Melissa Baldoff has our climate check. No matter how much I try to turn this into a Bond villain segment, she knows that in all those films, the good guys always win in the end. Melissa, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. On the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, we're examining how the landmark protections that moved forward in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 are now being dismantled by the U.S. Supreme Court's far-right majority. Louisiana versus Calais may be the next blow. What started out as brazen racial gerrymandering in 2022 by the Louisiana legislature has devolved into a new tactic to undo more of the already weakened VRA. Lower courts ordered the legislature to draw new, fairer maps. After initial defiance, it drew two majority-minority congressional districts to allow concentrations of the state's 33% black population to elect the candidate of their choice. In 2024, a group of, quote, non-African American voters appealed. They claim that the new districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and should be struck down. In 2023's striking down of affirmative action, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas pointed to the Equal Protection Clause, as did Alito in his dissent in Alabama's Milligan racial gerrymandering decision. When oral arguments begin March 24th, all eyes will be on Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who upheld the VRA Section 2 in the Alabama decision, but who also concurred with parts of Thomas's Equal Protection Clause dissent. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Al Jarreau was just made to do music that you could play on morning radio.
Oh, yes.
Son of Milwaukee, born this day in 1940, passed away in 2017, and we will hear more from Al Jarreau coming up later on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, where we welcome to the program, as we do every Wednesday at this time, Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, good morning. How are you? Are you hearing us okay? We were having some technical gremlins before.
I can hear you okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Lovely. That's so great.
It's so Melissa.
Talk to you guys. I also enjoy seeing you because it's just so wonderful every Wednesday morning to see your pleasant faces.
Look at that. We have pleasant faces, Greg.
And you're dang cute,
look
too.
Look at us. We're just voguing over here now. So what's new in Rapids?
Oh, so many new things in Rapids. But the most exciting thing for me personally is that I am in the process of casting my show that I'm directing this spring.
Wow.
Directing a show? Tell us more about that.
It's called Noises Off. We are in the 50th season at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. And this is their final show of the 50th season. And I get to direct it.
Wow.
That is a fun show.
It is a fun show. It's a huge show. And I had so many awesome people audition for the show. Everybody was so fantastic.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. Now, so when will the show run?
It will be the first two weekends in May.
Okay.
Right. Oh, wow. We're coming up on it. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's a big show, which we're going to be working hard.
Can people already get tickets for it?
Yes, you can.
Oh,
WRCtheater.org.
WRCtheater.org.
Yes, and that's theater with an R-E.
I was just going to say, because I got the error message, so we're going fancy with the R-E over here.
Yes, live theater, baby.
It's a theater. Theater. Yes,
you must say theater when you say it that way.
Okay. It's the theater.
I hope that's as much fun all the way through as the auditions were.
Yeah. Oh, it will be. I'm excited.
All right. Birthdays today. James Taylor is 77 years old today.
It's another great intro.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
It is.
We were saying a few minutes ago, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight might be one of the classic acoustic guitar intros. And then there's Fire and Rain. Now we got to go through the whole James Taylor catalog. Yeah. There's probably a few in there. You've Got a Friend and more. Boston native James Taylor is 77 today. Speaking of Massachusettonians with birthdays, Mitt Romney is 78 years old today. Later became a Utah senator. A TV series theme. You know, back in the olden days, TV themes were kind of long, not these really short, clippy things, and you'd hear them on the radio as singles. Mm-hmm. This theme from a TV series peaked on the record charts at number 17 this day in 1966. Pow.
Pow.
Kapow. Zap.
Smack 'em.
And if you don't know what the TV series is, now you do.
Batman.
The old campy 60s series with Adam West.
Leo Batman, attorney.
I loved this show as a little kid. Apparently.
Oh,
yeah, I'm told I could not get enough of it.
Walking up the wall with the celebrity in the window every week. Oh,
yes.
God.
Yeah, long before the Love Boat, that was one of the first great celebrity cameo things, was the Batman climbing the building shtick. Loved it. This is Girl Scouts Day. The Girl Scouts were first called the Girl Guides back in 1912 when they were founded in the United States. Were you a Girl Scout, Melissa?
No, I could not be a Girl Scout. That was not allowed.
Oh.
What?
Okay. There are rules, you know.
There are rules.
Rules in the family, yes.
Absolutely. I will message you later for details.
Okay.
or you can hear my interview with Maggie Dawn that I'm doing later today.
There you go.
Oh, well, hey, there you go. On this day in 1971, the Allman Brothers played the first of two shows recorded for what would become their landmark album, Live at the Fillmore East. Here's how it began. On this day in 2007, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Patti Smith, R.E.M., the Ronettes, and Van Halen were all inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then on this day in 1988, there were two different things that were going on. 1988 was when Sherry was pregnant with our first child. We'd have a daughter. And I was so enamored with this. And I was so enamored with Sherry for, you know, wanting to go through this with a pregnancy, start a family with me and everything. And I just remember turning to her and saying, Sherry, I'm never going to give you up. And that is how I just Rickrolled my own segment. Because also on this day in 1988, Rick Astley had this as the number one song. And watch the video. You'll thank me. It is the most awkward white boy dancing of all time.
Oh, but that was the sweetest story, Pat. They need to be more men like you.
How does it feel to know that you have a kid that your oldest is almost 40?
Yeah, I told her that. It doesn't go over well at all. This is also, along with Girl Scouts Day, Equal Pay Day, and Working Moms Day. Working Moms Day started with Susanna Lago of Wauwatosa, who wanted to connect with other working moms in the Milwaukee area, so she created Working Moms of Milwaukee. She made a Working Moms of Milwaukee Facebook page. It led to more Working Mom sites all over the country, and eventually led to Working Moms Day. So congrats to all the working moms out there, and all the hardworking women like Melissa Kay, directing her own show now. This is so awesome.
Radio personality, interviewer, rock on tour, and director.
Very nice. You can catch Melissa on 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Thank you, Melissa. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right. When we come back, we'll get the forecast from Brittany Merlot, and we will be talking more about tonight's live event in Madison about the state Supreme Court election on
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Jim!
Yes, dear?
Don't forget, my parents are coming, so clean up the workshop and get your car out of the garage.
Ugh.
What was that?
Yes, dear?
Been there, my friend.
might be time to give the pros at Clery a call. We can build whatever you dream. Egg buildings, storage for your toys, even a place to get away from the in-laws.
Yes!
Experience the Clery difference during our Customer Appreciation Day sale, March 13th through the 15th. Visit clerybuilding.com for more.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Trump's tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports have taken effect today. Other countries are firing back.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen saying two can play at that game.
As the United States are applying tariffs worth $28 billion, we are responding with countermeasures worth 26 billion euros.
American bourbon, jeans, and Harley-Davidson motorcycles facing tariffs of up to 50%. Cosmetics, clothes, wood, soybeans, chicken, beef, and other agricultural produce may also be included. The EU tariffs take effect next month, leaving some time for negotiations if Washington wants that. Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
The Education Department plans to cut more than 1,300 jobs, almost half its staff. Education Secretary Linda McMahon tells Fox,
"We wanted to make sure that we kept all of the right people and the good people to make sure that